Hey, we're announcing a weekend with AFA on Thursday, October the 2nd through Saturday, October the 4th. We'll have a weekend get-together with AFA leadership and supporters. It's a chance for all of us to get better acquainted.
It's a weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this program on this Tuesday, March the 18th, 2025. And the panel today includes Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning. Looking forward to today's issues.
Well, I'm glad. I like that enthusiasm.
I've had it all day.
You ready to go?
I've had it all morning. My son asked me this morning when he woke up, right. He said, "Why are you so happy?" It was like 7:50, you know, 7 in the morning. I said, you know what? I don't know. It's just an extra good day today.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's an extra good day.
That's what I'm talking about. The astronauts are about home, and all is well.
All is well.
Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Yes, good morning. You must have hot water at your place.
Yeah, I do.
I will
explain that in just a minute. Chris Woodward, good morning, Brother Chris.
Yeah, I think I'm on the wrong show. I thought this was Faith and Finance.
Faith and Finance?
Faith
and Finance. So, when people tell you their own problems, you're like, you got about 10 seconds of then you go into I don't care mode. It doesn't affect me mode. But just so people have a little sympathy for what we've been experiencing here in our area in Lee County, Mississippi, where Tupelo is, we had a gas line explosion about a week ago. Am I right?
Yeah, about 8 days ago now.
Workers were severely injured in this.
Yes.
And I don't know their status exactly. One of them was in a burn center in Memphis, I think. Mm. But it affected the entire county. 80,000 people live in, roughly 75,000, 80,000 people live in the county. Mm-hmm. 40,000 people in the city of Tupelo. But everyone was affected, right, Fred?
Anybody who is with Atmos Gas. Anybody who's a customer of that. So, I mean, within that.
People haven't had gas heaters working in their home. Or
if you are depending.
No water for showers.
Gas heating for water and for heating your house. You haven't had that. Now, the good news is Atmos crews from, I think, 8 states have come to the county to help out. Right. And so we have hundreds of these workers who are getting things back to normal. Over 4,000 to 5,000 have had their service restored, and places like nursing homes, restaurants have been shut down.
90% of the restaurants have been closed for a week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're getting back up to business. And so we are hopeful.
It's like COVID around here.
Yeah.
Huh? We are hopeful within about another week or so that everybody will have.
I got all electricity. Back.
Yes.
I'm just going to tell you.
That's where the joke came from.
Well, I know, because people want to use my showers at my house. And I'm not doing that, okay?
Even for a fee?
Not even for family.
What about a tariff?
What about a fee, though?
I'm not, no. That's my sanctuary for my wife and I. I'm sorry you don't have hot water. Next time you learn your lesson, go all electric. That's sort of my attitude toward this thing.
Next week we'll have a blackout, and then people with electricity will.
That's there you go. That's it.
I know that's probably not Christian, but that's just the way I feel about it.
Some things are very private. Hey, listen, a shout out to our good friends at 8 Days of Hope.
Yeah,
they have made available a couple of places in town.
Yeah, showers.
Their shower trailer, they call it.
It's a nice shower too.
Hot in the hot shower.
Do you use it?
No, I've seen the news reports. The local TV news outlets have done stories on that here.
That's wonderful.
Anyway, so don't email me or call me or text me wanting to use my showers.
So when Dad and I are extra enthused, that's when Fred says, well, you must have a hot shower.
That's what Fred meant by that. Yeah. Yep. Yes. All right. So a lot going on. By the way, Chris, did the astronauts, the two astronauts that have been stranded for 9 months, are they home yet?
They are coming home today, Lord willing.
Okay.
You can find that on our website, AFN.net, our story that Fred posted just before the show. Stranded astronauts finally on their way home, thanks to SpaceX and a capsule there that went to go rescue them and bring them back to planet Earth.
Yeah, they're taking the scenic route home because they left the space station like about 6 hours ago. But they're not due to arrive back on Earth until about 4 o'clock Central Time this afternoon. So I guess they have to wind down slowly.
Allison, my wife, she was watching that live on Saturday. I guess it was. Was it Saturday?
When the rescue capsule went up? Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And when they docked and then these and these people were sent by Elon Musk, right?
Yeah. This is an Elon Musk rocket.
So Elon Musk, his rocket went up to get these folks, these two astronauts, mm-hmm. one male, one female. And bless her heart, her hair is all over the universe.
She's become very well known.
I know. Huh? And it's and she's gotten a lot grayer.
I'm not sure you're talking about.
Do I now?
The hair and the, something I got to go look up.
Yeah, you need to look up NASA astronauts.
I've gotten a lot grayer since they've been stuck up there.
Bless her heart. But anyway, here's the thing. They intended to go for a week. This is June of last year.
It was
right?
A Boeing Starliner capsule back in June. Yeah,
and they're just now coming home to planet Earth.
Yep.
And I was reading where they're going to have to go undergo serious medical observation.
Yes.
Because they've just been floating.
Yes.
For 9 months.
Okay, I got a lot of questions here. I don't know how much we're going to take up.
We'll see if we got answers. What do you?
What food? That's the first thing.
Food. They had plenty of food. Okay. I don't know how. Not having been an astronaut, I mean, I could have been, but I chose a different path.
I was going to say that. Let them know about that. You could have ever.
We all have life choices.
It was a dream.
Mine was an astronaut or not, and I said no. I'd rather give
others. Scared of heights.
Well, I'd rather give others. Yes, that too. But I'd rather give others the opportunity. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't go that way. But these folks have been stranded for 9 months, and they somehow or another they're able to deliver food.
Oh, okay. Didn't realize that.
Yeah, they don't need a man capsule to deliver food.
Right. So Elon Musk said that he's been wanting to go get them with his rocket for, I guess, several months now. But when Joe Biden, this is what Elon Musk says now. Elon Musk says Joe Biden, then president, wouldn't let him go rescue the two astronauts because it made him and Trump look good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the astronauts confirmed that.
Yes.
He was in, one of the astronauts was interviewed about 2 weeks ago.
Yes, he did.
And he was asked by a reporter here on Earth, Elon Musk is saying this. Is it true? And the astronaut said yes.
I know. That was damning
to
former President Biden. If that's true, and those two fellows, Elon Musk and one of the astronauts, said that it was. So was there two or three of them stuck there?
Two.
Two.
Okay. Butch Williams and Sonny Williams, if I said her name correctly.
Two Williams, but they're not related.
Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams.
Okay. Well, anyway, so they should be coming. So you're saying, do they do? How will they land back on Earth? It's not a splashdown deal, is it?
Well, the SpaceX is the one that, if this is the capsule that I'm thinking of, some SpaceX tech lands. Basically, it just descends.
Okay, they don't do splashdowns anymore like they do.
I don't think so.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, like they did back in the 60s during the Apollo missions.
Yeah,
yeah. So they land back where they left from.
I believe so.
That's amazing.
It is,
huh?
It's a lot of math. I don't understand.
You look at Elon Musk and you go, "What have I really done with my life?"
My favorite of his companies, though, is the one that's called the Boring Company.
Yeah.
He didn't change the name. It's literally called the Boring Company. Boring meaning like a big drill.
Oh, right.
Where he can
right.
like make a tunnel. But like, you know, come up with something cooler. The Boring Company?
But he kept that
I think he
simple.
Did it for
He has SpaceX. He has
Tesla.
Tesla. He has X.
The Boring Company.
X, formerly known as Twitter, yep. The Boring Company. I don't know what all he.
I think.
And he has a whole bunch of kids.
Yes.
He sure does.
Wow.
He believes in populating the earth. If you listen to him talk, we're going to be underpopulated. All right. Well, joining us now is Dr. Frank Turek. He's the host of I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist and Cross-Examined Radio. Frank, good morning to you.
Speaking of Elon Musk,
yeah.
Man, he's getting some stuff done, isn't he?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's right. A can-do person.
I think so.
No doubt about it. Have you ever formed your own rocket company?
No.
Or thought about it?
I like you, I could have been an astronaut, Tim, but I decided against it.
Right. We all have those moments where we have to make life choices. And so you did, too. You said you would be better off doing something else.
That's right.
All right. So is your show called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist? Or is
I don't.
It called,
I don't
or
have enough faith to be an atheist.
I'm sorry, I didn't finish the question, Mr. Counselor. So is your show called Cross-Examined, or is it called
I Don't Have Faith to Be an Atheist, brought to you by crossexamined.org.
Okay, so yes, Brent Creeley, our producer, is absolutely correct. Did you change the name of that, or did I have been calling it Mr.
Counselor? Well, we used to call it Cross-Examined,
okay,
but I don't have enough
go.
Faith to be an atheist actually tells you what we talk about.
You changed
we
it.
We decided to go with that.
You changed
it's a rebranding. It happens.
Okay.
That's right.
You bring All right. So I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist is the radio show that we air here on American Family Radio at 9 a.m. Central Time on Saturday morning and Sundays at 4 p.m. Central Time.
Correct.
It's an excellent radio program. Yeah. You need to listen to it. Frank, what was I going to ask you about? What about Elon Musk? What about all this
Doge?
Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency and cutting waste, fraud, and so forth. What do you think about all that?
Well, you know, the New York Times, and by the way, Cal Thomas used to say, every day I read the New York Times and the Bible just to see what both sides are doing.
That's good.
Anyway, the New York Times put something out on their Instagram feed where they tried to point out that some of the cuts that apparently Doge has made haven't really been cuts, or they haven't been as big of a cut as Musk has said they would be. And it just baffles me as to how people at the New York Times, on one hand, could complain about Doge making too many cuts, and at the same time saying the cuts they made weren't really cuts.
Right.
Like, which is it?
Right.
You know, if you're complaining that Doge is claiming to make these big cuts, but they're not really cuts, then why are you complaining they're making cuts?
Mm-hmm.
And if they are cuts, well, maybe cuts need to be made. Do you guys remember, in fact, it may have been even the White House that brought this up, that back in, I think it may have been 2011, almost 15 years ago, Obama put Biden in charge of trying to cut waste out of the federal government. Do you guys remember that? Do you think the New York Times analyzed any of that?
No.
Obama put Biden in charge?
You didn't know about that? That's why nothing got done, Tim.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
No, he did. He didn't call it Doge, but Biden was in charge of trying to find waste, fraud, and abuse in the federal government. And the New York Times, I assume, applauded that. But as soon as Trump tries to do it, well, there's got to be a problem here. You see, it's all ideology from the New York Times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Elon Musk himself said, we will be making mistakes. Look, everyone makes mistakes, right, on occasion. And Musk said, yeah, we're going in hot and heavy, and we'll probably make some mistakes. And maybe the ones that the New York Times caught are mistakes. But it really baffles me how so many people could be up in arms about cutting government waste, fraud, and abuse. Is there anybody out there who is really for government waste, fraud, and abuse? Apparently the Democrats and the New York Times are.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I think the mic drop here is something I hadn't thought about until you just pointed out, and I think our listening audience is going to really appreciate that New York Times is saying that they're not really doing what they say they're doing, yet at the same time, the Democrats are still complaining that they're doing what they think they're doing. I think right there, that's enough to discredit themselves.
Well, they've already been discredited, and I think people are starting to realize, if they haven't already. In fact, I saw someone else put this out just the other day. I think the New York Times or one of those far left leaning media sources came out and basically said, we were lied to about COVID. Well, grandmas figured this out 4 years ago. It's just the New York Times have been suddenly gone. They're now having a revelation. Yeah, we weren't really told the truth by the government. Oh, you weren't.
Really? Yeah.
I think what has happened with the reason that a lot of the Democrats, not all of them, but a lot of the Democrats, and especially the liberal news media, are upset with Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency and the highlights of waste, fraud, and abuse that he's been making public, is because they don't consider some of these agencies waste, fraud, and abuse, because they are organizations and institutions that are used to propagate left-wing ideology and politics. For example, the Department of Education, the Federal Department of Education, which has a huge building in Washington, D.C., they need to be closed down. If you were to poll the employees of the Department of Education, you're going to find 99% of them vote Democrat.
That's okay. Right.
Okay. So they need to be closed down. They're highly partisan. And as President Trump has said, the money needs that
overreaching, to say the least. Too.
Do what now?
They overreach too.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, and they basically try to direct public education from Washington D.C.
Yep, 100%.
The money that Trump has said, we'll cut that out and we'll redistribute the money that would otherwise go to the Department of Education to the states, which I applaud.
Yeah.
Applaud. Okay, that's a great idea. But for the left wing, they would say, oh no, that's not waste and abuse. We need the Department of Education to do A, B, C, D, and E. Well, A, B, C, D, and E are all left-wing talking points, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. But they're going to say they're critical to public education. That's what the Democrats are going to say. So it's one man's waste is another man's treasure type situation here. But I think what Trump and Elon Musk are doing needed to be done and has needed to be done for a long time. The federal government in all its branches needs to be audited. And that's basically what Elon Musk and his team of little young whippersnappers are doing. I saw where they went into the Institute for Peace. Is that what it's called? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm. It's a big, nice, beautiful building in Washington, D.C. It's over there by the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, right after you cross the bridge. I think it's the Roosevelt Bridge. I should know. I've been over it a million times, but I think it's the Roosevelt Bridge. But it's a Institute for Peace. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a federally funded organization. By federally funded, I mean the Congress gives them money for their budget. Well, they got upset, they being the CEO of that group, got upset because Elon Musk showed up and with his team wanting to do basically close them down, I think. Mm-hmm. And this guy got mad, said Elon Musk, quote, broke into the building. Mm-hmm. And they're at odds right now. Did you see, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the AP has done this. I'll post a link on our Facebook page here in a moment. But apparently, Newsweek is claiming there was a bit of a police standoff here in the you can't be in here, yes I can.
Right, there was, yeah. So what do you think about – so you think this is a good thing that's going on overall with Elon Musk and the citing of all this?
I certainly do, Tim. Yeah. And I think that actually DOGE is kind of changing their strategy. They're using now employees of these agencies – this just came out last night – to actually do some of the decision-making rather than the external Department of Government Efficiency coming in. They're just using the employees in these certain agencies to identify waste, fraud, and abuse. So,
okay, so changing the topic real quickly. Mm-hmm. President Trump and Russian President Putin are on the phone as we speak, I think. That's what Fox News is reporting. What do you think the chances are we get a peace deal out of this thing, or ceasefire?
That's a really good question. You know, in negotiation, you always ask for more than you think you can get, so you can sort of throw away certain things during the negotiation. ask for the moon, and then you
right.
can negotiate down. Both sides are asking for the moon. So hopefully Trump can broker a deal between these two parties. And when you walk away from negotiation like that, both sides should come away a little bit happy and a little bit sad, because that's how a good deal is done. Obviously, it's a real messy situation. Hopefully, Trump can somehow stop the killing out there and maintain Ukraine as a sovereign nation.
Yeah.
Fred, what do you think about all this?
Well, absolutely. And I think Trump kind of indicated one of the topics of discussion this morning was played on our newscast, is that he's worried about a group of Ukrainian soldiers that he says right now at this moment have been surrounded by Russian soldiers. And he's afraid of another massacre there. And he says something has to be done. And he's talking about immediately on that front. Now, there have been a lot of discussions. Trump people have been meeting with the Russians. They've been meeting with Ukrainians. Frank, it seems that Ukraine, at the very least, is going to have to give up some of their eastern territory. Have you heard that?
I have heard that, and I don't know what Russia has to give up. I'm not quite sure what's ultimately going to happen here, but I doubt Putin's going to agree to give back, say, Crimea. But he's had that for 10 years. He took that under Obama's administration.
Right, right.
Well, I think he's going to get more than that. I think he's going to get probably a quarter of the country there. Of Ukraine in return for a ceasefire. I don't know, Zelensky wouldn't probably like that, but in order to end the war and get a ceasefire and end the war, I think it's more likely Ukraine's going to have to give up some land.
Yes.
In all this deal. But anyway, it's going to be, we hope and pray that a peace deal can be worked out. Today we'll get good news from the phone call.
Yes.
Well, you know, Tim, in Just War Theory, which Augustine really formulated back in the 400s AD, which he would say is the biblical way of approaching this, it is one of the tenets of it is you have to have a reasonable chance of success in order to continue fighting. Otherwise, people are just dying needlessly. And the goal of a just war is to ultimately restore peace. Long term, unfortunately, Ukraine can't continue this war indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
It just can't. At some point, they're going to have to come to the table and stop the killing, even though it's unjust that Russia has taken land from them. However, there are some who say that certain areas of Russia that Russia has taken land from them would vote in a fair election to be part of Russia. So there's that angle there as well. In any event, they just can't continue bombing one another and killing one another, because certainly Ukraine has no reasonable chance of winning.
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's coming up on your show? I don't have enough faith to be an atheist on Saturday.
We're going to have Kirk Cameron on talking about how to be brave in this world that we're in. So I'm looking forward to have Kirk on. I also want to mention one other thing, that I'm going to be at the Wayne State University tomorrow night in Detroit, Michigan. We're going to be doing that that's tomorrow night, Wednesday. Then next Thursday night down in your neck of the woods, Mississippi State on Thursday night. That date is going to be, let me get you the exact date. That's Thursday what's next Thursday?
Like 2 days from now?
27th, Tim.
Wow.
Mississippi State. Hey, I don't have enough faith.
Would that be your first stop there in Starkville?
That's going to be the first stop in Starkville.
Well, stop here, and I will let you have my cowbell to take it down there. And you can.
Now, how far is Tupelo from Starkville?
About 90 minutes.
Yeah. 90. Well, about an hour.
Yeah.
Why?
Okay. Well, Thursday night the 27th at Mississippi State. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. 6:30 Central Time.
You think
details
you use
at crossexamine.org.
Okay. So, will you have time to come here or not?
Probably not, unfortunately.
All right, be that way.
Right. The closest airport we could get.
I don't have enough faith to meet you, sir.
That's 2 hours away.
You flew into Birmingham? You flying into Birmingham?
That's what we're doing.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Charlotte, yeah.
All right, well, listen, Brother Frank, take care. Talk to you later, and we'll visit with you next week.
Thanks, brother. See ya.
Okay, see ya.
Bye.
That's Frank Turek. And his program is I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, heard weekends here on American Family Radio. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
As we celebrate the many pro-life victories going forth, we rejoice. Preborn's network of clinics have a unique opportunity to advance even further without political persecution. What does this look like? Preborn is the greatest threat to the abortion industry. By rescuing, on average, 200 babies' lives a day, they are putting a serious dent into the abortion holocaust. But there are still thousands of babies who are slain daily, and Preborn's goal is to rescue them all. With the help of the pro-life community, meaning you, we can save so many more. Please join us in saving all of these precious lives. The ultrasound is the game changer. Once a mother hears that precious heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. If you consider yourself pro-life, we need your help. One ultrasound is just $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 sponsors ultrasounds for the entire Preborn network for an entire day. How many lives can you save? Every child is a beautiful gift from God. Please join the cause. To donate securely, please dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
So welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, Fred, and Chris. Pardon me. So, Fred, how long have you been alive?
How long have I been alive? 70 plus.
Okay, so that's how many decades of hearing about the John F. Kennedy assassination conspiracies?
Since 1963.
Okay. and so far, the documents and or papers, whatever they are, have been kept under wraps by the federal government, right?
Yes, public archives.
And now they're being released?
According to President Trump, he is at least ready. I'm not sure if it's going to happen today, but the indication is, and we do have some audio on this, Chris?
Yes, it is. Here is Donald Trump talking about this on clip 12.
Tomorrow you have the JFK files. What time will they be released?
Tomorrow afternoon, sir. Yes. Have you seen what's in the files? Have you read them?
I've heard about it.
Was there anything interesting?
It's going to be very interesting.
Was there an executive summary supplied to you, Mr. President,
I'm not doing summaries. You'll write your own summaries.
That was yesterday.
Yes. So we're going to see it. But, you know, some of the other media this morning is saying don't hold your breath because you're probably going to be disappointed if you think we're finally going to find out if Lee Harvey Oswald was a Soviet spy or a Cuban spy.
Lone gunman.
And carried out this on the orders of the Soviet government. The indication is if you're expecting that evidence of that kind of thing, you may be disappointed.
Well, which begs the question, why has this not been publicly, why hasn't this information been released to the public after all these decades if there's nothing to it?
There is a response to that. There are some of the documents that are still not going to be released, and the reason being given officially is that they contain information that might jeopardize national security.
Even today?
Even today. Connections, government connections, okay. Et cetera, et cetera.
The thing about this story, and this goes for a lot of stuff in just American society, we are born skeptical of our government. You know, we have a Bill of Rights because we came from a government we didn't like. We said we're going to do our own thing. We fought for it. We got our independence. Praise God. So, like, we're automatically born skeptical. We also live in a culture where we love fiction and things that are juicy and that suck you in. And Wesley and I grew up in a world where you had people like Oliver Stone making movies about this and kind of planting seeds of doubt or whatnot in our minds.
Conspiracy.
And it's the perfect storm of something weird happened, because why would you set it like a century away? You know, this stuff was like put, you know, hidden away 60 years ago and wasn't supposed to be out for another couple of decades, which makes us suspicious that something weird happened or something illegal happened.
I don't know what y'all are talking about. No, I'm just kidding.
John F. Kennedy. Well, he is a, you know what we're talking about.
James, I do. I was joking because anytime y'all go back in history with songs or usually to tune carpet. Out, I usually get on my phone.
It bores you.
Yeah.
Okay, it bores you. Well, okay, so JFK files will be released to the public today, and President Trump was commenting.
I would say, you know, based on the Epstein stuff that we thought we were going to get, it might be air being let out of a balloon later today and not being what you thought you would see.
Instead of a balloon being blown up.
Right, yes. Exactly.
The air letting out.
Just kind of, it's a big womp womp, possibly.
Womp womp womp. Yeah. Next story, Chris.
All right. Let's speaking of Donald Trump here, let's mention this.
He didn't get enough attention.
He really doesn't. And I'm going to say nice things about
it. Bless his heart.
So
he's just crying for attention.
So there's this back and forth between the Trump administration and this judge who recently told the Trump administration, you have to stop these flights of Venezuelan criminals, gang members that came to your country illegally. You got to stop and bring them back over here. The Trump administration said, we can't do that. We're not going to do that. You know, now Trump is calling for that judge to be impeached. The judge wants them to tell, you know, him why they didn't turn the flights around by noon today. I'm assuming that's noon Eastern. If they haven't done so already, that deadline is quickly approaching. And we do have a good bit of audio here from various people on this, but I've got this Jonathan Fahey. Now, Jonathan is a former deputy assistant DHS secretary. And he's discussing his prediction for this Trump administration legal fight. Clip 3.
Yeah, that's a great point that they are having to fight to kick out gang members. Here's how I expect it to play out. The Trump administration may lose the issue with this district judge who already seems predisposed to rule against them, but they're ultimately going to win in the appellate court and ultimately the Supreme Court if it goes that far, because this Alien Enemies Act gives the discretion to the president to make these decisions to decide if this is an alien incursion and to remove them. The whole purpose of the act was to do this without judicial review, without courts being involved. And, you know, I think the White House has discussed this. If they had to put every deportation of a gang member, of somebody that was invading our country in front of a district judge, you couldn't even repel these people. And the very big point is all of this happened because the Biden administration flew all of these people in or brought them in from Venezuela.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I agree with everything that fella said. Who was that?
Former Deputy Assistant DHS Secretary Jonathan Fahey.
This is one of those things. You got a long. We talked about this yesterday. You got a lone federal judge that has jurisdiction in
D.C.,
the District of Columbia, and he's basically pretending he's president.
Yep.
Pretending he's wanting to be. He's a president. Wannabe by telling the executive branch of Trump administration what they can and can't do with the criminal illegal aliens that we have detained. And it's, I don't understand what his point is, except is he trying to save them from, it sounds like to me he's their public advocate or something like that. This judge.
Well,
what does he care?
He is, first of all, he's a Barack Obama appointee.
Okay.
So that's a good place to start.
Yes.
He is an activist judge. There's no question about it. The ACLU took this matter to court this past weekend. All right? So ACLU and another leftist group, they go before this leftist judge and they say, we want this plane stopped because they're going to carry these guys and we don't think that they have had a fair chance before the courts before being flown out of the country. So they go before...
They're not even American citizens.
No, that's right. That's right. But it doesn't matter to the ACLU and the leftist groups. And so this hearing is being held Unbeknownst initially to the judge, the planes had taken off from Houston, headed to El Salvador. When he's through the initial ruling, he then gives an oral judgment saying, I want those planes turned around and brought back.
Right.
And they're saying, I'm sorry, Judge. Judge, his name is Boasberg. I'm sorry, Judge Boasberg. Those planes are already out of U.S. airspace. We cannot bring them back. Well, he's really perturbed. And so now he's saying to the Trump lawyers, the lawyers for the administration, I want you to appear, and I think the next hearing is today. I want you to come back and tell me under oath that those planes were indeed in international airspace when I gave that order. So that's where we are with this. What's going to happen? You've alluded to it, Tim. What's going to happen? This is probably going to go to an appeals court and maybe up to the Supreme Court. When are we going to stop this practice? Because we know leftist groups are going to they go judge shopping.
Judge shopping, yeah.
That's what they're doing. This is going to end up before the Supreme Court. We've had this discussion yesterday.
I'm sorry, I got to interrupt you. Can the judge not be held accountable for this?
There's already a Republican says he want him impeached.
Yeah, okay. And that is a possibility.
Yeah. Federal judges are basically immune from accountability for the most part. You can impeach them. But it's extremely rare. I don't remember the last time a federal judge was impeached.
Especially if you're in a far left.
You would only be impeached probably for outright bribery. You know, you took money and it can be proven. Anyway, that's why it's so important who the president is, because the president appoints federal judges.
That's right.
And so this is an Obama appointee. And he's listening to the ACLU's argument about illegal aliens who are criminals that we're shipping to El Salvador. And they're Venezuelan gang members.
Yes.
And the ACLU, you ever heard the expression bleeding heart? They're bleeding heart liberals. If these people were American citizens, they would have constitutional rights that would have to be considered, yes, and adjudicated in that manner, but these aren't.
Caroline Leavitt, the White House spokesperson, had a good description of the kinds of people that were on these planes. I think it's worth listening to.
Yeah,
this is cut number 4.
I would remind everybody in this room that Tren de Aragua is a foreign terrorist organization operating within the United States of America because the previous administration allowed them to invade our country. These are monsters who tortured, raped, and murdered a 12-year-old Jocelyn Nungre. They murdered 22-year-old nursing student Lakin Riley. They led a state sex trafficking operation involving smuggling women into the United States, holding them in stash houses in Louisiana, Florida, New Jersey, Texas, and Virginia, and forcing them into prostitution. They kidnapped and murdered a 33-year-old woman in Texas. They sexually and physically assaulted a woman and her daughter in Wisconsin. They conducted a mass shooting in Illinois. They peddled untraceable ghost guns across New York City, took over an Aurora, Colorado apartment complex where they kidnapped and tortured victims. And by the way, many of you in the mainstream media said that didn't happen.
That was Carolyn Leavitt. She's the spokesperson for the White House.
We had to cut that down. Yes,
so she
went
kept
on
going.
Yeah,
so she was making a point that these are people that we shouldn't be defending.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
And they're criminal gang members, these are bad dudes.
Yeah.
And according to President Trump, yesterday I saw him. He said we're at war.
Yeah.
And we're not. He's talking about at war with these criminal gangs that are now in our country. Thanks to Joe Biden, for the most part.
Yeah. And these and her point, and really the general public in America, this is a non-negotiable. They don't really, we're across the board. I'm guessing 60-70% of Americans.
Oh yeah.
Generally speaking, are saying,
get these guys
out of here. Yeah.
Get these guys out of here.
And you got a federal judge.
One federal judge.
I'm still held up though, logically, how a federal judge can. Are they shouldn't be. They're obviously not able to by the law, but how they can do this and anybody listen to them. that they should be ignored.
Yeah, I think it's because they see themselves as co-equal branches, a piece of the co-equal branch, this one being the judicial.
Okay, you have to have, you do have a federal just court system with judges.
Mm-hmm.
But
for checks and balances,
he will be, this fellow will be checked mm-hmm. when you get up to a, especially the Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think sometimes judges will do things knowing they're going to get overruled, but it at least puts a pause on whatever liberal bleeding heart effort you might be in.
Sounds like judicial activism a little bit.
Yes,
okay. Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, Joe Biden himself, when it came to the rent moratorium, he said things like, it's probably illegal, but it's worth it.
Yeah, well, this guy, this, this judge telling Trump to turn the planes around. These guys, again, these aren't U.S. citizens. These guys are Venezuelan gang members, and we were shipping them to El Salvador.
Yeah.
Turn the planes around? Why? Mm. I mean, huh?
In El Salvador,
why?
Is
you,
like,
you want them to
happy
come stay?
To dig it. Happy to take them.
I'd say you want to come stay at your house? Huh? Yeah. Mr. Judge?
Yeah.
Sir? I mean, anyway. Next story.
I have another clip from the White House press secretary.
Another one?
Yes. When it comes to issues like immigration, like Ukraine, there is a French politician who may have been joking. And I say he may have been joking because some news outlets say it was a
joke. What was his name, Chris?
Raphael Glucksmann.
Okay.
He's a member of the European Parliament and co-president of a small left-wing party in France. And in recent days, Raphael made comments that we should give the Statue of Liberty back to France because of issues like immigration and Ukraine. And Caroline,
he's a French giver.
Yes. Oui. Peter Ducey asked Caroline Leavitt about this yesterday at the press briefing. Listen to her, his question and her response. Clip 9.
There is now a member of the European Parliament from France who does not think the U.S. represents the values of the Statue of Liberty anymore. They want the Statue of Liberty back. So is President Trump going to send the Statue of Liberty back to France?
Absolutely not. And my advice to that unnamed low-level French politician would be to remind them that it's only because of the United States of America that the French are not speaking German right now. So they should be very grateful to our great country.
She is so good.
She just came off the top rope and, like, you know, by the way, the anniversary of the invasion of, you know.
So they're not getting the... They're not getting the Statue of Liberty back.
No.
Well, I might add, this is one guy right over there. This isn't the French.
Yeah, but it had to be asked, right?
French government.
No, sure. Yeah, well, you know, because one guy throws it out there, and then generally when somebody puts their neck out there politically, there are other people.
Raphael did.
Yeah.
And somebody's telling me he ain't getting it. I hate to break it to you, Raphael, but your mission to bring home the Statue of Liberty is,
we're going to send Fred over there to do news reports for us.
Yeah. Next story, Chris.
French speaker. Let's keep it with politics for a second. I've got two bites from two Don bites. Lemon. Don Lemon.
I thought he had gone away.
Don Lemon, as Tucker Carlson likes to call him. He did go away, but he
went
pops
away
up
from CNN.
Yeah,
right?
He did.
Yeah.
He parted ways with CNN. Well, he sat down with Bill Maher for a talk on various political matters, and Don Lemon is of the opinion that the Democrats should look to some of the newer faces, the ones we bring in clips often on the show, as the new leaders of the Democratic Party. Listen to the people that he names. Clip 10.
People love AOC. People love Jasmine Crockett. People love Eric Swalwell and the like. And I think that the Democratic Party should put the people out there who the people want. They should put the politicians out there who the people want, who they're asking for.
Okay, that was Don Lemon, formerly on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
And
I support his message, by the way.
Do you really?
Yes.
Well, Eric Swalwell ran for president and got no support. So that tells you where he is nationally.
The people he listed as potential leaders for the Democrat Party to bring a renewal to our country. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she's far lefty and a little nutso.
Yes.
Okay. And now, so if we say thank you, AOC, for coming, but we'll call you
Let you know.
Okay, now next up on the stage, Miss Joan Crockett. Is that her name?
Jasmine Crockett.
Yes.
Jasmine. Mm-hmm. So Jasmine Crockett, she's a congresswoman from
Dallas.
Yes. She's the one that gets into a lot of fights now with people like James Comer. But
she's a wackadoodle, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, she's an AOC from Texas, right?
She is.
She's an AOC with cowgirl boots on.
Right.
Uh-huh. Am I right?
Uh-huh.
She made a little dance video with her office staff before Trump's address to the joint session of Congress to show her opposition to Trump. Well, that'll show him.
Did you see that, Wesley?
There's a time to dance.
You see that, Fred?
Yeah, they've been showing it on Fox. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what? It was a little dance routine?
She did, yeah. I don't know what she was doing for her. I don't know what she was not doing for her constituents when she took time to choreograph and record a dance with her office staff.
I have not seen that. I have seen her interviewed a couple of times, and there's almost little to
know. She's an AOC.
Yes.
From Dallas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, and then you got Eric Swalwell?
Swalwell.
He's the congressman from
California.
He was very prominent in the first Trump administration.
Yes.
And he was a big Russia guy.
Yes, and he has a lot to say about J6 and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I think Don Lemon needs to bring three more.
Well, yes.
This is AOC.
This is where we're
going.
Crockett
and Swalwell.
You and I are going to disagree because I think.
Oh, you think they would be good for the party?
No, I think they would. Oh, yeah, I think they would be good for the party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
You want to see. Anyway, this.
Don't throw them in the briar patch.
Yeah.
Please do.
Now, Don Lemon, go ahead.
Yeah.
You're trying to save the party, Dad, rationally.
Yeah, I'm trying to help them out here. I don't need to listen to me.
But this is part of the big fight within the Democratic Party right
now.
There is for the Democrats, this is a serious problem in that you've got people like this, these three individuals, and the party is trying to decide what are we going to do with them as opposed to the John Fettermans and the Chuck Schumers and some of these others. Ro Khanna, I think is a Democrat congressman
from California. Yep.
From California. And he was interviewed on Fox this morning. I think you have, is it cut
it's
7?
Cut number 7, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, no one can defend that. Look, I'm the son of immigrants. Mm-hmm. We're a nation of immigrants. We're also a nation of laws. Right. And my parents talked, I was born in America. They said, you won the lottery, go study about the country, make sure you make good grades, work hard. That's the story of most immigrants. So we need to celebrate that, but we also need to have a secure border.
And that was a Democrat?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
From California.
And this this is their prop. They do not have a leader right now. That party.
But Wesley's trying to help them.
I'm trying.
He's trying to help them find a leader.
I'm trying to help them continue to fail.
Yeah.
Well.
And this is what
they're doing a good job.
And
of that
I support the message. Put AOC up there.
This next clip. Don Lemon dug himself a hole here.
Did he?
And Bill Maher called him out. Do we have the other Don Lemon clip? Okay, I'll set it up and then just point to you when we need to play it because I know we've given you different numbers for this. Don Lemon, who is a black man, went on to say things about black voters that white man Bill Maher called him out on correctly, I might add.
Okay.
Here now is
the
clip.
The same thing that when I see not all black Republicans, but when I see a black MAGA person who is carrying Donald Trump's water and they know that he's lying, it is the shortest line to the front. Because if you're black and you're whatever, you're just in line with a bunch of other Democrats that are doing the same thing that you're doing. But if you become a black MAGA person, it's like, whoa, let's book this person, let's put him on television.
So you don't think you can be a sincere black MAGA person?
I think there can be sincere Republicans.
But you can't be a sincere black Republican?
I don't think that you can be a rational MAGA be black and be a rational MAGA person. I think you can be black and be a Republican.
I think they would find that very insulting.
Well, I mean, the truth is often insulting.
What? When did Bill Maher start doing his show in a jazz bar?
that was the music. That was
I don't know why that particular segment had music underneath. It could have been the person that did the video that we did get the audio from.
Okay, so.
But take out the jazz music.
Yeah. I don't know what he...
Bill Maher told Don Lemon that it's offensive to black Republican voters to say that they can't be black and Republican and rational.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just blown away by the fact that when Don Lemon pressed on this, he said the truth is often insulting. Like, if a white broadcaster had said that to on air, like Anderson Cooper would still be on the air talking about how awful it was.
Yeah.
Well, listen, President Trump got, I believe, the highest percentage of vote ever for a Republican mm-hmm. among black Americans.
Yes.
Particularly males. Mm-hmm. Same can be true, I think, of Hispanic voters. So I think the day of taking
identity politics.
Yeah. And especially the Democrats taking blacks and Hispanics and other minorities for granted. Mm-hmm. I think that day is over because so many of these far left ideas just don't go over well with.
And we have with
Americans of any stripe.
And we're in the process of having a cultural shift where the identity politics is less valuable than it had been done in the past, I believe, my personal opinion. I believe that more people are concerned about what you can do for me mm-hmm. more so than what you can do for my group, my skin color or whatever. More people because of the failures of identity politics.
Also, the white supremacy, white nationalist.
There's no evidence for it.
Calling everybody a racist and
no evidence for it.
It just doesn't work anymore mm-mm. because there's just not any evidence for it.
That's right. Yeah.
Just because you disagree with somebody on their political positions,
doesn't mean you're a hater or supremacy. And that's where the culture shift's coming. More people are realizing, okay, well, we may disagree, but this guy's not a racist.
Right. So, all right, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network, and we'll find out when the astronauts are supposed to
late this afternoon.
Get back, okay.
Said 5:57 Eastern time.
Okay.
And they are going to have a splashdown.
Are they really?
They are in coast of Florida.
Good old-fashioned splashdown.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.